Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's HandyLink. You're listening to HandyLink on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Cal Schuler from Challenger Park. So tell me a little bit about the accessible features of Challenger Park.
Calgary Rotary Challenger Park sits on about 23 acres of land and has a variety of, venues and stuff that people with disabilities or mobility challenges can actually participate on with an equal level with their non-disabled peers. So it has a couple of baseball diamonds. One of the baseball diamonds also has a cricket pitch on it. And the dressing rooms are all fully accessible, including first aid rooms down in under the buildings as well. It has a football, soccer pitch as well, and also has a regulation track for track and field. And it has three buildings on the site as well. So one is for the baseball diamond. One is for track and field. It also doubles up as for an exercise facility as well. So it does have some weightlifting equipment like an equalizer machine. And the third building and stuff is the main building, which houses the staff. And it houses a couple of tenants on the building and stuff as well. So. And it has tennis courts and basketball courts, as well as a fully accessible children's playground.
So when you say fully accessible playground, can you take me through a little bit more about that?
The playground and stuff has this all rubber matting on the bottom. All the equipment and stuff is accessible for people who might be in scooters or wheelchairs, so they can wheel up. They can wheel up and over top of some of the equipment. The only thing that they probably wouldn't be able to do from a wheelchair would be the slide stuff, and the swing and stuff is a little bit bigger and stuff in that it allows somebody to be transferred into it and stuff, and then, you know, the bar comes down and stuff so they don't fall off.
So,
but other than that, it's, you know, people are able to take part and stuff. But, oh, actually, the teeter-totter kind of thing as well has a little bit of a ramp. It's kind of a different teeter-totter in that it has seats on either side so that somebody in a wheelchair could actually slide up or pull up right into the middle. So when they're rocking back and forth and stuff, the person in the wheelchair could actually be on it as well.
So how does the community respond to a park such as this?
You know, it's really welcome and stuff. The park has a, you know, a really wide, varied audience stuff that takes part in it. So, you know, it's not just strictly, although it was built for with the people with disabilities in mind being able to take part on an equal basis, the park is actually used a lot by people who even don't have disabilities. So, for instance, in the, you know, the summer months and stuff, there is a lot of the schools that bring their the classes out. So they take part, they use the park as far as track and field, football, soccer, baseball. But there is also baseball leagues that run at the park, you know, the full length of the baseball season that don't have, you know, any disabilities as well. But also there is a group here in town called the for kids with disabilities who play baseball. So they actually rent the baseball diamonds as well. Challenger Little League, sorry, that's what it's called. So the park is used by both people with and without disabilities on an equal basis.
So for the athletic facilities, is there any modified equipment available for an athlete with a disability?
Yep, there is actually... there is chairs there and stuff that people can actually come out and use, but they can also bring their own stuff as well. So, for instance, there is three or four different wheelchairs and stuff that are used there for basketball as well. There is a couple of hand cycles, so if anybody wants to come out, they can actually use the hand cycles to go around, not only within the park facilities themselves, like around the pathways there or the track and field, but the pathway system in Calgary will allow that person to actually grab onto a hand cycle and wheel out to the airport or, you know, downtown, those type of things as well. As well as stuff, there is, like I was mentioning, in the track and field building there is modified weightlifting equipment. It's called an equalizer, so it's actually a piece of equipment where, you know, 4 to 6 people could actually get on this one piece of equipment. But it is built specifically for people with disabilities who might be in chairs or scooters and stuff to be able to take part in weightlifting equipment. So they can actually wheel up right to the equipment and do the rowing action. They can do the pulleys, the weightlifting and stuff as well. And there is a separate piece of equipment there that if people don't have good fine motor skills being able to do that, it's called and stuff that allows people to do bicep and tricep curls without actually being able to grab onto a person's piece of equipment.
So how do you go about spreading the word about the park itself?
The park has been around for a number of years now and stuff, so most people in the city and stuff know about the park itself. But there is the website. There is the different events that happen throughout the park throughout the years. You know, not only just for, say the baseball or those type of things, but, through ourselves and stuff, through the organization that I work with, excuse me, the Spinal Cord Injury Association, is that we will hold different events out at the park as well. As well as a number of different groups. There's groups that go out there to horticultural events. So they have a specific part of the park and stuff where they do adaptive horticultural sessions. So throughout the year and stuff, they'll grow their plants or the vegetables and stuff right on the park as well, where they have raised flower plants and beds. But there's also, we run an event out there every year, so called our Family Fun Day. So it's an event that we have the park for the full day, and we have people from all across the city come out there. Stuff. Last year, stuff we had about over 1,500 people come out for the day, and it's just a day full of free activities and stuff that people can take part in. But it's also an awareness event where we can have, we'll have 15, 20 chairs out there, some wheelchairs out there that people who don't have disabilities can actually come out and take part. See what it's like to be in a wheelchair. They can take part in wheelchair tennis, wheelchair basketball, take part in some of the events and stuff that throughout the playground. But again, stuff. And then there's other events out there and stuff that have nothing to do with really disability awareness stuff other than highlighting the park. So you might have, when the Prince and Princess came through a number of years ago, they had a great big event out there and stuff where they held the formality and stuff right at Rotary Challenger Park. So,
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Yeah, no problem.
One of the key aspects that Cal touched on during the interview was the fact that the park is available not just to people with disabilities, but also to their able-bodied counterparts. Fact is, by having such a facility open to everyone, you start to break down those perceived walls between the two groups. Fact is, people with disabilities can spend some time getting to know people who are able-bodied. People who are able-bodied can see strength, the intelligence, and even the spirit of people with disabilities out there enjoying their game and even coming to realize these are some great athletes with something very meaningful to contribute to their sport. And once you create that first step of understanding, the rest are a lot easier to take. Once you recognize that a person with a disability is someone of strength and is someone of character, it changes your outlook on things. You won't be so quick to say, this person moves a little differently, this person learns a little differently, so it's okay to exclude them. No, you start to say, gee, I saw one person with one type of disability succeeding, so that says to me that people of all sorts of backgrounds, all sorts of conditions, can achieve, they can create. And that's why I love fully accessible but open facilities like that. Truth is, it's all about building bridges, getting people together to realize that the most important thing that binds us all together is simply the fact that we're people. People within a community who can bring something unique, be it an insight, be it a talent, be it an idea. We can bring something to better those around us, to better ourselves, better our living conditions. Once you recognize people with disabilities have an equal chance to contribute to those who are able-bodied, you start to realize the community is so much more than you might have given it credit for. You start to see that diversity is made of all types of people. And it's not something to be feared, something to be embraced. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned. The Downtown Music Initiative is providing a unique opportunity for young people to learn and to thrive from music in the community.
The DMI is a community program that offers free music lessons to students ages 4 to 17 who come from low-income families. It's run by volunteer musicians.
How can I get more information on the DMI?
You can contact me, Melissa Miner, at 226-347-6409 or visit our Facebook page, Downtown Music Initiative.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Cal Schuler from Challenger Park. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Stu Starkey, a paratriathlete with an amazing story to tell. So tell me a little bit about your experiences as a paratriathlete.
Okay. It's been phenomenal from start to finish. I love getting involved in para sport for myself. There's some barriers to socialization for someone with a visual impairment, especially for someone, well, not especially, but my impairment, when I'm moving around in an open space, a lot of people won't know I'm visually impaired. When I get into a crowded space or more of an obstacle, I start to struggle and people wonder, you know, what's wrong with this guy. When I'm participating in a para triathlon or para sport anywhere, people know and expect that there's going to be some sort of disability, and it's widely accepted, and it really helps build confidence that it is okay have a disability, and that and you can thrive while having one.
So, can you tell me a little bit about some of the successes you've experienced as such an athlete?
For me, Cam, I competed my whole childhood and university career as an able-bodied athlete. I have a degenerative eye condition that started when I was a young kid with night blindness, but it didn't affect me during the day. So I was able to compete at a fairly high level for swimming in able body and through my university days. And I found out when I was 18 that I was going to go blind, and that at that point I started to lose peripheral vision to where I'm at now, where it's kind of looking through straws for what I see. So competing in para sport, I decided not to compete in swimming, as it would be strange for me to compete in the para side of the sport that I competed in able body. So I wanted to choose a new sport. I went from rowing to paranautic skiing to paratriathlon. And I had varying success levels in rowing. We succeeded and went to the World Championships in Poland, and it was a great experience, great way to see the world and make sure we're taken care of all at the same time. And paratriathlon furthered that. It was training with an amazing partner, an amazing person, Jason Dick. He helped me technically and also helped me with some perspective type stuff. For me, the greatest success for paratriathlon and all the parasports I've done is perspective in dealing with life.
So, is there any modified equipment that you use in the sport?
Describe it?
Yes.
Okay, so for myself, triathlon is obviously swimming, biking, running. The swim, what we have to do is we have to tether ourselves together. And Jason and I came up with an interesting strategy. Because of my swim background, I ended up being a little bit faster than Jason. So typically, the para-athlete would sit kind of on the hip of the able-bodied athlete to get a bit of a draft, to get an advantage. We reversed that so that Jason was able to get a bit of a draft, and he'd guide me with tugging on the tether when we needed to go one way, or pushing me to go to the left. He always stayed on my right-hand side. On the bike, it was a tandem bike. That was a lot of fun. I biked a lot when I was younger, just for fun, not competitively. But getting on and doing that competitively and not being in control was what I imagine being a driver of a car for a long time, and then all of a sudden being in the passenger seat. It was exhilarating, but uncomfortable all at the same time. And then the run is, we also have to be tethered. And running the course, some of them are more difficult than others. I preferred the ones that were just straight out, straight back, because I could get into a rhythm and not have to worry about the obstacles that were in the way. Those were for us, the biggest difference, or the equipment you talked about, would be the tandem bicycle.
So if you could send any one message to the community about the need for inclusion in sport, what would you say?
I couldn't be more passionate about getting people with disability involved in sport. I've seen it in all the para sports I've participated in. I've seen people transform from very shy, uninvolved people to extraordinarily confident, productive members of society. And I think it's the biggest makeover, for lack of a better word, I've ever seen on a reoccurring basis. And it's something I'm extraordinarily passionate about, and plan to continue to advocate for it in a very strong way, and hopefully one day start a charity to raise awareness and to help the ones who can't afford it participate.
So if you could see any one thing added to parasport as it is today, what would it be?
Numbers, demographics. There needs to be more participation. For it to thrive at the top level, you need other people trying to get to the top level for it to be a success. For someone to sit on the top of the podium. But all those other people that are in the grassroots are also gaining so much. I've seen it with my own eyes 100 times. And we really need, as a society, able-bodied or disabled, the benefit is there for everybody to get people involved, to get people with disabilities involved.
So do you think there's any potential for an integrated sport to have both disabled and able-bodied players?
In what sense?
Just in any sense of athletic competition, do you think the potential exists?
I think you can certainly have a successful integrated competition where people with disability are competing at competitions with able body. I think that it would be difficult having them compete directly against each other at a high level, because if you create some sort of point system to level the playing field for whatever that sport is, it starts to become a little bit of a gray area. But I think the integration of the competitions and the events at the same place, at the same times, is very important.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
I've said it a million times, and I will say it a million more. When it comes to disability athletics, nothing of the challenge or the skill that it takes is lost. Fact is, disability athletics call for intense training, slight modifications in some cases, the drive and the courage to succeed. By the same token, they bear a striking resemblance to able-bodied athletics in so much as simply about the game. It's about the moment. Scoring the next point, climbing the next mountain, doing what you love to do. It is not about limitations or what slight changes have to be made to the game. It is about superior athletics. It is about taking the time to learn the disciplines and the focus techniques that go with any sport. For someone like Stu, who lived both sides of the equation, basically, as an able-bodied athlete, finding what it means to be an athlete with a disability. It's a transition, yes, but you can learn a great deal. You can learn that your life doesn't end with a disability. It opens new doors, new possibilities. You might not do the game you did before, but you can find a new game, broaden your horizons. That's what disability is all about, a new way of thinking, finding what other paths to success might exist. Fact is, too many times you hear people saying, I can't do the things I love anymore. I can't be a part of the world I once was. I recently heard a story of a chef who was shot and went through some rehab because of a spinal cord injury. Fact is, he's still a chef. He found a way to do what he loves to do. It's no different for any person with a disability. You can find ways, even if it's a slight adaptation. If it's taking on a new sport, that's fine. If it's developing a new learning system, hey, who doesn't? The truth is, life doesn't end with a condition. It begins in a new way. Fact is, we shouldn't let ourselves limit our own potential. We don't know what we can accomplish till we're put to the task. Truth is, if a person's motivated enough, driven enough, they will inevitably succeed. They will inevitably find a way, in most cases. But the key is accepting that you can still do the things you love to do, and the meaning of it does not have to be lost. In disability sport, a lot of people see it as, oh, it's not as much of a competition. Oh, they get an unfair advantage. Not at all. They're still playing against people of roughly equal ability. The game is only slightly modified in most cases. And the equipment is there for exactly the same purpose as it is for an able-bodied person. To create potential to achieve in the athletics. If you were to say to an able-bodied hockey player, oh, you have a stick, that's an unfair advantage. People would think it unreasonable. So, why is it so many of us are tempted to say things like visually impaired hockey, oh, you have a slightly larger stick or a puck that emits a tone, that's an unfair advantage. How? It simply enables a person to enjoy their game, to enjoy their sport. It's just part of the playing field. It is not giving an unfair advantage. It still takes training. It still takes drive. It still takes the acceptance that you, as an athlete, or as a student, or an employee, or whatever facet of life you find yourself in, are a person of strength, a person with the ability to create and to achieve, and yeah, to do the things you love to do. It's not always a matter of making a public statement. Hey, I'm a person with a disability, look what I can do. No. In a lot of cases, it's simply about reaching those goals that you have for yourself in life. And really, being a person who recognizes their own strength and chooses to live with that strength and dignity sends more of a message to the community than anything else. Sends a message that says, I'm not ashamed of what I am. I know what I can do. And it's not up to anyone, even myself, to impose limits that don't belong there. Truth is, most of the limits we impose are the ones we create for ourselves. Ones that say, it's not worth trying. The risk isn't worth taking. That is not what disability life is all about. It's not about saying to yourself, I've lost something. It's about saying to yourself, I'm looking at the world in a new way. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks, and we'll see you next week.